Well, we are still on wisdom this morning, and we've been traveling along on this journey, looking at what conditions were in Solomon's life, and so I just thought this morning, in a quick little 2-minute recap, you know, we've been talking about all these different things on wisdom, right? But it's kind of sneaky, because when I kind of give you the recap of just what we've talked about in the last 5-6 weeks, it's funny how each one of them is not just for wisdom. Each one of them fits a New Testament scenario about how we're to live in the kingdom of God. So yes, we disguise some of our series go really long, but we talk about so many different things that are connected, but they're for our lives that we need all the time. So remember, we talk about the first one was about you guys being chosen. You know, David said, "This is my son Solomon. He was chosen. He was chosen." We talked about that a lot. You've been chosen. If you've responded to the name of Jesus, if you've asked the Lord to be Lord of your life, you're chosen, you're accepted, you're loved. Like, does that sound New Testament? Yeah? They checked out already. They're thinking about your story, Marnie. How about a willing mind? God give them a willing mind, right? Does that sound New Testament? You've got to be willing. Lay down our lives, serve and obey, right? Man, there's willingness there. If you're resistant, you're not going to live a thriving kingdom life if you're hesitant and resistant. You're just not. Right. Amen. Thank you, Hooper. Wholehearted devotion to God. Well, we don't have to go much for like that's, yeah. I mean, that is. So many of these things even come from the Sermon on the Mount. Humility, right? The entrance point into the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek, right? Man, that's Jesus stuff right there. And we're talking about it in the context of wisdom and in Solomon's life and whatever. Here it's, oh, that's kingdom living. That's now living. That's today living. Not only does it qualify me to pursue wisdom, it qualifies me to live the God life. How many want to live the God life? Come on. Fear of the Lord. We read that verse, humility is the fear of the Lord. Or the fear of the Lord is humility. This awesome reverence for God that can just capture our hearts and our attention and keep us from evil. And last week we looked at being prudent, giving thought to our ways, thinking about what we're doing, thinking about what we're going to say before we say it, thinking about our thoughts as they're muddling around in our head and not just letting them, getting our life off of autopilot, right? That was kind of the lesson for last week, because wisdom gives all these speeches in Proverbs, and wisdom says, I hang out with prudence, prudent. And, you know, most of us don't use that word. And it means to just to look at my, like, thinking about what I'm going to do before I do it. Not making rash decisions. Not just going through life on autopilot. This is just what I do is who I am, blah, blah, blah. Like, we don't find wisdom hanging out there. If you're just living life on automatic, you'll see a theme throughout, and we'll talk about some of it today. You'll see a theme through Proverbs. You won't stumble into wisdom by accident. Sometimes just the grace of God, yes. But like in a practical sense, you won't become wise accidentally. Amen. So today, as we continue, did you know that the average person gets bombarded with over 1,700 banner ads per month? Those are just banner ads. Those are just on the internet banner ads. 1,700. But you will usually see about half of them. So only 850 per month. 850 banner ads. Now, you might think that you're excluded from that because I don't do much on the internet or whatever. You are bombarded with advertisements all of the time. The most expensive advertising campaign of all time was created by Chanel. It costs $33 million. To sell some no stinkum. $33 million. Think about this. I remember this from, like, I don't think it was the first one, but I remember watching the commercial when you see what it's talking about. See if this triggers anything in your mind. As soon as chewing gum ads started showing people chewing two pieces of gum at once, sales doubled instantly. That's because people also started to chew pieces two at a time, just like they'd seen on TV. Do you guys remember that? I don't know if they still do that, but you remember the Wrigley's commercials where they're, yep, and my favorite, what is that called? The yellow one? It's Juicy Fruit? Is that what that one is? Oh, that was so good. But I remember watching the commercial. I remember watching them take two pieces of gum and I'd be like, Mom, somehow the commercials didn't mean anything in our house. But I always thought that was weird that they had two pieces. And so statistics show that as soon as those commercials started airing, people's behavior changed. It wasn't that all of a sudden people decided that they, no, what I really wanted was two pieces of gum, right? It changed their behavior. I find that so interesting. Here's one for you guys. Advertisers often use a technique called affective condition, where they take a product and they place it next to other things that consumers feel positive about. For example, detergent brands. So like, washing detergent. Often associate themselves with babies, sunshine, and flowers, even though detergent doesn't have anything to do with those things. But they put it next to those things because it creates these warm affections in our heart. And we're like, I like babies and flowers. Who doesn't like sunshine? I'm going to go buy some detergent, right? So, and we know that to be true. You watch commercials and just, I've even said that. I'm like, what does that have to do with that? It makes you feel warm inside or courageous or whatever they're trying to sell. It elicits that reaction inside of you. Worldwide, digital ad spending is predicted to reach over $375 billion by 2021. $375 billion just on digital marketing. That's not radio, that's not TV, that's not magazines, newspapers, that's not anything but digital. $375 billion. Wow. Advertising holds quite a place in our society. What does that have to do with our lesson today? I'm glad you asked. What is advertising for? It gets people's attention, right? When there's an ad, right? Their hope is, so it could be a funny one, it could be a sad story, like depending on what kind of emotions they're trying to create. They want to capture your attention, right? Why do we watch the Super Bowl? Certainly is not for the Vikings. And these days anymore, sadly, it's not even for the commercials. I mean, but that's what it used to be. Why did we used to watch the Super Bowl back before things went south? But it's to get our attention. It's to inform us, to let you know that there's something out there that you didn't have. Okay? You didn't know that you could even, I didn't know that I could even do that. It's to create a desire for a product. How many have ever not been hungry at all? And you're sitting on the couch and on comes this commercial for this decadent pie or cake and you're like, ooh. Or the sizzling steak. You're like, man, I haven't eaten in like 8 minutes. I am so starved. It creates this desire in us for what they're trying to sell. Or it produces a need in how many of you watched a commercial, you're like, oh, I need that. 3 minutes ago, if we would have listed out things that you needed, 25 of them, it wouldn't have made the list. You did not know that you needed that. Well, sure, you knew it was out there. You knew it existed, so it wasn't to inform you. But it created this need. Well, I've got to have that. Anyone stay up too late and watch infomercials at night? end up with a fruit slicer you didn't need? Ron Popeil or whatever it is. Didn't know you needed that thing. It produces a need in us that wasn't even there before. And how about this one? It ties their product to your identity or to your future. If you wear this, you'll be this. You smell like this, you'll be irresistible to the ladies, right? Or you'll be the envy of the street, right? Like everyone will love you. Or your future will be like, oh, we're going downhill, but boy, if you buy this thing, your future is up and to the right, right? Creates a new identity. Boy, I want to buy that because I want to be that. I want to buy that because I want to be that. It's a bad place to be, but it's so many of us do it. And lastly, ultimately, what they're spending billions of dollars to do is to incite action. They want you to actually, I mean, they do care about how you feel and the vision that they're creating for your future, your identity, and the need that they're creating in your heart. But at the end of the day, if you still stay sitting on your couch and your credit card stays in its wallet, the commercial hasn't done ultimately what it's trying to do. So what they really want you to do, they use all of those other things as tools to ultimately get you to action. Pull the credit card out, go to the store, get in the car, take a trip, right, and go do it. Eat here, shop there, buy that, get this, order that. We can deliver it right to your door. Free curbside pickup, right? We can do this. We can do that. They're for you. We can do this, George. We can do this, right? They're your biggest ally. We got this. And we're all like, thanks. As we're spending our money for something we didn't even want 5 minutes earlier. They're for me. They like me. Not true. They want your money. So I want to point to an advertisement in Proverbs. There's actually quite a few of them. And if you've never looked at it this way before, I just challenge you, just soak this in this morning. Because this is good stuff. Because there is an advertisement happening. Actually, there's multiple advertisements happening. And the way that we think about wisdom sometimes doesn't align with what the Word of God actually talks about wisdom. We just get something in our head, and I don't know where it came from, but we're going to look at how wisdom kind of operates today. And I want you to look at the advertisement of wisdom. Proverbs 1:20 says this, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out, and at the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge?" Wisdom is selling something. Wisdom has something to offer. There's a product here that you need, and it just so happens that God's the one paying the bill on this one. God's the one advertising this one. God is the one that's saying, hey, look, listen, check this out. All those things that we just went through, it wants us to capture our attention. Wisdom wants to capture our attention. Oh, I didn't know you were over there. What are you saying? It wants to create a desire in us. Like, when you see it in this context, it's wisdom's advertisement. Wisdom is advertising, saying, hey, I've got something to offer that you didn't even know that you needed. And this one actually is a legitimate need, but we didn't know that we needed that. Wisdom is crying out in all these different places. The very next verse, we'll look at some of the places again. But remember, all these are cries aloud, raises her voice, cries out, speaks. These are all vocal. They're all putting it out there vocally for you to hear and see. Okay, the next verse. Proverbs 8, 1 through 5. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? Now look at where this is happening. Go back to this one. So in the street, in the markets, at the head of the noisy streets, at the entrance of the city gates. All right, the next one. At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gate leading into the city. At the entrance, she cries aloud, "To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to who? All mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence." We talked about prudence last week. "You who are foolish, set your hearts on it." So there's this advertisement. Now, where do we put billboards? Down in a slough, off to the right somewhere where we can't see them? We put them up above the road. Billboard is plastered right in full view where everybody can see it. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? Where? At the highest point. Some of the versions say on the highest hills. Wisdom is standing on the highest hills crying out, hey, anyone that will listen to all mankind, I'm saying, hey, over here, look over here. If you guys ever went to like a market or something, or Valley Fair. You ever walk through the carnival part of Valley Fair? Everyone's trying, hey, you want to grab three rings for a buck, right? They're all trying to get your attention. Wisdom's up on the highest place, being like, over here, hello, over here, in high visibility. But see, the problem is that there's other people advertising as well. There's other acts, there's other vendors. There's other people that want your attention. We're often unaware of this. But let me see if I can bring to light a situation where you might be aware of it. Has anyone ever struggled to not do the wrong thing? But your emotions and everything else is saying, yeah, you should retaliate. Yeah, you should write that letter. Yeah, you should respond to that text, right? And everything within you that's good is going, don't do it. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Nope, don't do it. But another part of you is like, oh, I'm going to, right? Or you know, the midnight burrito. And wisdom's going, but why? Think this through. There are so many repercussions and ramifications to this decision. And you know that. You having this conversation in your head, right? You know you shouldn't respond to that text with a nasty text back. You know you shouldn't retaliate. You know you shouldn't go do this thing. And you're having this tug of war. And wisdom is trying to say, over here, don't do it. Hey, prudence is saying, did you think about this thing? And you're going, yep, I'm thinking about it. Boy, I think it's really good. Burritos, taco sauce. Oh, come on. And there's this battle that's going on. And that's where it's more overt. But often, wisdom's on the highest hill, calling out with her voice. And we're just oblivious. Because there's other voices. So it would almost be good if it was that kind of a struggle every time, but so often we just miss it. Have you guys ever been driving and the co-pilot or the kids in the back like, oh, did you see that? And you're like, no, I'm watching the road because I'm a good driver, right? And you're like, secretly, you're like, man, what did I mean? Dave's like, no, I saw more stuff than Mary did. Yep. Right. Uh-huh. Right. Dave's wondering if you can get a van with a captain's chair in it where you're driving and you can turn around. It's, well, at least he's honest. At least he's honest. And you're still here by the grace of God. And it would be great, but often we miss it. We're just oblivious of it. And at the highest point along the way, you're just doing your thing. You're off. I'm going to do my thing. Anyone ever said to you, hey, no, not to Dave, because he sees him, but you safe drivers. Anyone ever said to you, hey, I was waving like crazy, but you just were driving right straight on through. Yeah? You said that to me once. James is like, we waved to you. I was driving bus though. I was being very cautious and aware of the road, and you weren't over the line, so I didn't care about you. Yep. Keeping those kids safe. But we're just on our way. Just on our way. We're not thinking about wisdom. We're not thinking about good choices. I'm thinking about what I need to be doing. My friends, that is not prudence. And you are not getting yelled at. It kind of sounded like it after I said it. Like, that's not prudence. That's not giving thought to our ways. But at the highest point and along the way, when people are just doing what they do, wisdom's crying out, hey, will you guys listen? How long will you stay in your simple ways? How long will you keep crashing into the wall? Where the paths meet, she's crying out. Where your life intersects with other people's lives, wisdom is standing there saying, will you listen? Will you stop sabotaging your relationships? Will you stop? Well, stop saying the things as that's just how you are. Look at Proverbs and see how you can change your heart and your words and your attitudes to preserve relationships and to, well, I don't need to change. They need to change. How long will you keep being simple? Well, they're the ones that, how long, simple ones? will you not listen to my call? Where your life intersects with other people's lives and other people on their way. How long, simple ones? Wisdom's got this plea, this advertisement, that I've got something that you didn't even know that you need, and I'm calling out for you. She takes her stand beside the gate leading into the city, and at the entrance, the other one before said the marketplace. Marketplaces, obviously, where you do your life, where you do your business, where you go to work, where you do your stuff. The city gate, it's where the elders met. It's where the court cases were. It's where justice was done. And wisdom is standing there, crying out to all of those just going along their way, just going through their legal things and just doing their thing. And wisdom's saying, how long? How long? I have so much more to offer. You didn't even realize that there's so much more. Yeah, I know you love Jesus, but I can help you with so much more of your daily life. Wisdom's crying out. We're going to get one more snapshot of wisdom making this advertisement, but we see this in these two snapshots. We see wisdom out and about. Wisdom is mingling. Wisdom is saying, what about you? How about you? I've got something you need. How about you? You? Anybody? Any takers? I have something that will bring life. It will bring health. It will bring nourishment to your bones. It'll bring freedom. It'll bring all that you need. I have so much to offer. Over there? Over there? And we see that. We saw that in the verse, all mankind. I offer this to all mankind. I want to show you another snapshot now. It's kind of you might say the reverse of that. But wisdom has built her house. Okay, now she's not necessarily out mingling in the crowds. She set up at Seven Pillars. She's prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's set her table. She has sent out her servants. And she calls from the highest point of the city, let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come eat my food and drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Amen. Thank you for that. And you will walk in the way of insight. Now we see that not only is wisdom mingling through the crowds, but if there are any that do respond, wisdom has a place where she lives. You have to make the effort to go to her house. You can't, it's just not a, hey, I've got a token here and I'm going to go to your booth and I'm going to get some wisdom, right? It's not where you put the coin in and you pull out the little thing. Oh, I've got my wisdom fortune today. I should be good. So wisdom does make her advertisement, and yet she requires that you change your path, come to her. And all through the Proverbs, that's going to be the theme. You've got to go to her. You've got to cry out to her. You've got to look for her. You've got to spend time capturing what she has to say. She makes the advertisement out in the city squares and at the entrance of the gates where everybody's doing business, where the path meets, on the highest place. She's calling out, and you see even here, she puts an advertisement for her house. Hey, in case you guys didn't hear me, I'm going to be at my house here. I have so much to offer, but you have to come to me. And once you come to me, man, then we're going to be in this relationship and it's going to be phenomenal, but you got to come to me. So there's other advertisers on the market today. There are other advertisers on the market today. There are other people crying out for your attention. One of those verses earlier, instead of saying, well, actually two different versions in two different verses said in the commotion and one said above the noise. So not only are there other vendors crying out for your attention, there's other people. There's noise. You ever feel like there's too much noise in your life? There's too many voices saying you need to do this. You're not enough for that. But above the noise, wisdom says, come to my house. Come and see me. All right, we're going to look at one of the other vendors. Folly is an unruly woman. Those ladies. She is simple and knows nothing. And that's not typical of ladies. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city. Wait a minute. Back up to the other verse. Wisdom has built her house. Hold on. She calls from the highest point of the city. Okay. Now folly calls from the highest point of the city. If you're going to go up there, you've got to choose whose house you're going to go to. You're going to choose whose house you're going to go to. And she's calling out to all those who pass by, who go on their straight way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there and that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Guys, we've got to spend time in the presence of Jesus, capturing his heart. Listen to me. Look at me. Look at me right now. Everybody, don't look at the screen. Don't look over there at Fern. Look at me right here. We've got to spend time with Jesus and in his presence so that we capture his heart. Yes. We have to capture the character and the heart of Jesus. It's not just about memorizing Bible verses. I held up one finger. So the second thing is we have to get in the Word of God. So it sounds like I'm contradicting myself. We have to capture the heart of God. We have to become like him. We have to love the things he loves and hate the things he hates. We have to be moved with a heart of compassion. We've got to have his heart. Or else the second thing that we do when we get into the Word, if we don't have the heart of God, we can miss that. And we take a verse and we end up using it as a weapon for myself, for others. And the blessings of the Word of God can be minimized by our flesh. So it's so important that we see the face and heart of God as we read the Word and in worship, so that as we get into the Word, we start to see what truth is. We start to see what's required of us. We start to see where the boundary lines are. We start to see where the path is. We start to see what's right and wrong. Because Look at this, quote, let all who are simple come to my house. Where have I heard that before? Wisdom. Back up. Hold on a minute. Wisdom's built her house. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, come eat my food and drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and you'll walk in the way of insight. Now fast forward. Folly says, let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says. She talks about her food as well. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there. Folly's telling you the same message that wisdom is. But it ends in death. That's why we've got to be in the Word of God. We've got to be in the presence of Jesus and capture his heart so that we can listen to wisdom. And we need to go to wisdom's house because it's not just automatic. Real quick, the blessings of wisdom. This is just continuing on in that section in Proverbs. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. All through this, we see that wisdom's calling out. You gain it. You receive it. Wisdom's not in you. That's a good thing. I mean, I hope wisdom is in you, but like, it's not of you. Wisdom is something like, I wasn't born that smart. That has nothing to do with wisdom. Wisdom is something you can acquire. Who's it for? Anyone. But there's steps that we need to take to get it. But it's offered to all. The blessing of it, because we can find it, we can gain it. She's more profitable than silver, yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. Long life is in her hand, in her right hand. And in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take a hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. Does that sound appealing? Oh, wow. That sounds so refreshing in the times that we live in. And yet, so few of us take the advertisement. We just keep going along our way. Hey, I heard that good advertisement the other day. That didn't really do anything for me, though. See, it requires action. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment. Like, hang on to it. There will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. This is, again, in Proverbs 3 here. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Does that sound interesting to anybody? Have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and keep your foot from being snared. But see, that's conditional. Your sleep, your sweet sleep, and your this safety net, it has to do with if you don't let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. If you hang on to that, if you hold on. Here's a profound verse. You guys ready for this? Watch this. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. I love this verse in its profundity. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And that seems like someone needed to fill a page, and they're just like, what else can I write? If I'm going to be honest. But this is the wisest man in the world writing this. What he's saying is this. You can talk about being wise all you want. You can talk about how much you learned and how cool this is and what you think of this idea. But if you don't go to wisdom's house, you're just a dude with a story walking down the road. If you don't get wisdom. I was listening to one of the guys preaching when I was studying for all these, and the very first verse in Proverbs 1, it says, talking about for, you know, Proverbs being for getting wisdom and instruction and on it goes. And the preacher said, why don't more people get wisdom? Like, there's so many blessings with wisdom. So why do not more people get wisdom? And he said it's because of the second word there. With me is, you know, for the purpose of getting wisdom and instruction. That word instruction most often is translated discipline. Really? So I can't just put in a quarter and pull a thing and have wisdom? Or there's discipline. How many are excited about discipline? All right. I didn't see that hand. And yet, wisdom will tell you all the time, because it takes me changing my ways. That takes discipline, the instruction of the Lord. I've got to change. I've got the capacity to which you will receive instruction is the capacity to which you will walk in wisdom. That was going to be part of the message today, but it snuck in. The capacity for you, in the same capacity that you can receive instruction and be teachable, is the capacity that you have for growing in wisdom. I want to grow in wisdom, but I kind of want to have all the answers and kind of know it. Disqualified, sorry. I mean, I'm just serious, sorry. You might have some earthly wisdom. James, we'll talk about that sometime. I don't know, probably not. But there's earthly wisdom and there's spiritual wisdom. You want to walk in God's wisdom? You got to be teachable. You've got to receive instruction. And most often, instruction is translated discipline. And I don't like that word. I want people to rally to my cause and come to my aid and tell me. I tell people my problems because I want them to tell me that I'm right, and they want to pat me on the back and say, hang in there. I want comfort, right? I want ease. I want a recliner. Come on, and a laptop and some coffee. That's what I want. And wisdom says, yeah, that's great if you want to be a fool, if you want to be a simpleton. That's great. Do what you want to do. Keep shooting yourself in the foot if you want. So let's look at action here a little bit more, and then we'll be done. Get wisdom. Get understanding. I want you in these next few verses, and we'll be done. Look at all the action words. That's just what we're doing. We're just doing a shotgun approach as we finish up. Action words. Action words. Get wisdom. Get understanding. This is right. This is the next verse is the verse that we just read. And you'll see that in a second here. Do not forget my words. Don't turn away from them. Don't forsake wisdom. Do you think maybe that there's going to be an opportunity for you to, for all these, just like hang on to it. Wisdom is not easily obtained, and it's not easily maintained. It's not easily obtained, and it's not easily maintained. So this Solomon is just crying out, come on, just hang on to these things. Don't forsake wisdom. She'll protect you. Love her, and she'll watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. So that's that verse in context now. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she'll exalt you. Embrace her and she'll honor you. These are very descriptive, emotive words. And they're just saying, man, you've got to go after this. You can't just haphazardly, if you want your life to be well, and if you want the blessings of wisdom, you can't just be like, I hope I get some wisdom today. Like you've got to be intentional about this. And there's a few more here, and then we'll finish up. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom, applying your heart to understanding. Does that sound casual? There is a lot of intense action. It sounds more like a college final. Applying your heart to, and if you call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding. If you look for it as silver, how would you look for silver? If someone told you, I put some silver and gold in your house, you think that bugger would finally get clean? If you look for it as for silver, search for it as for hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and you'll find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Two more, I think. My son, keep my words, store up my commands, keep my commands and you'll live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. This is the verse that I've prayed for 25 years. Say to wisdom, you're my sister. And the old NIV says to understanding that you're my kinsman. But this one says, say to insight that you're my relative. Like, you are close to me. I don't want to leave you. I want, because my heart's going to be pulled away. My flesh is going to want to do other things. I want to say, I need you. Stay with me. Hang on to my life. Keep reminding me of the dumb things that I want to do aren't the wise things to do. Keep on it. Do it again, day after day. Not just today, not just tomorrow, not just the next day, not just the next day. Every day, I've got to run to wisdom. I've got to say, what did the Lord command? I want to do that today. I can't just get into autopilot mode because foolishness happens then. Now then, children, this is the last one. Listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed, say blessed. Blessed are those who listen to me. Who's giving the speech here? I don't know if you remember from before, but Proverbs 8 is wisdom speech. Wisdom is talking here. So blessed are those who listen to me. Listen to who? Listen to wisdom. This is another line that I say from the pulpit all the time. Watching daily at my doors. Whose doors? Wisdom's doors. Where's she at? She's at her house. You've got to go where wisdom lives. Waiting at my doorway, for those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. So as we close today, who has your ear and what are you doing about it? What action steps are you taking? Are you looking and listening for wisdom? Are you listening for that voice? Or do you have a message that sounds pretty much like wisdom, but it's really folly? It's really kind of just, you're really just, it sounds good, but it's not rooted in the Word of God. It's not rooted in wisdom. Well, how do I know that? Dive into the Word of God. Spend time with Jesus. Dive into the Proverbs. Get into the Psalms. Read the New Testament. Read the whole thing over and over. I promise you, once is not enough. I read the Bible once. Good for you. 60 more times, and then we'll start to have a good conversation, right? We need it. Or until your flesh is done influencing you. Okay? I hope not, because you'd be dead, okay? Our flesh is always one of those voices, and folly is always one of those. There's one more advertisement out there that Proverbs is going to talk a lot about. Folly is shouting from the top of the city, come to my house. Wisdom is shouting from the top of the city, come to my house. And the adulteress is hanging out in the street by her house. Hey, come over here. What I've got is going to be exciting for you. And Proverbs talks, I think, about five different places about that, one whole chapter almost. Stay away from the adulteress. Man, stay away from that longing in your heart that you think this is going to be great. it's going to kill you. I love it. They don't know, really know how to translate this, so it says it different in each version. But the verse goes something like this. I looked through the lattice. I saw a young man, and she was saying to him, "Come to my house. I've covered my bed with, perfume and fresh linens from Egypt and whatever. And my husband's gone away on a trip, and he's not coming back till the end of the month. And I've fulfilled my vows, and come and we'll make love and all this kind of stuff." And I love that he says he doesn't know that he's going down to the grave, that the dead live there, and he will be something. But the line is, that they don't know how to translate, is till an arrow pierces his liver. I just think about that imagery. Man, I don't want a pierced liver. Jesus, protect me. Protect my heart. Protect my eyes. Get the junk off of my screen. I want to keep my eyes pure. And if you're like, just listen to me. If you're guys, and statistically girls as well, pornography is death. It's going to kill you. It's going to kill you. Stop. Get some help. It's cancer. Whatever you think it's doing for you, it's not. It's a lie. So adultery is this third quieter voice. Hey, right? It's that voice. It's not on the top of the hills, but it's outside of her house. So what voice are we listening to? And then what actions are we taking? What advertisement have you bought into? What did you figure out that you really needed? And is it the right one? Is it the right message? Is it wisdom or is it folly? Let's get into the Word of God and see what wisdom is having us do. Amen? Yeah, amen. God, I bless these people with wisdom, with hungry hearts, with a desire to walk uprightly before you, God. Thank you for guarding our paths. Lord, I pray for the blessing of wisdom to be on our lives. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Have a blessed day, you guys.